will this evening. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. In Mark chapter 9, I want to begin in verse number 30 tonight and read a portion of Scripture. The last time we were able to pen the chapter a couple of weeks ago, dealt with the early part of the chapter when Jesus and Peter, James, and John were on the mountain. After they came down off the mountain, they met a man with the disciples whose son was demon-possessed, and the Lord healed the son. All that happened there, started to look at that passage tonight, and the Lord just led me past it to come to this section tonight. And so I want to pick up in verse 30. And the Bible says, "And they departed hence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is healed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way? And they held their peace, for by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and saith unto them, If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all. And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receiveth he. And whosoever shall receive he, receiveth not he, but him that sent me. And John answered him, saying, Master, he saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. That is verse 30. Down through verse 41 tonight, that which the Lord has impressed on my heart. Upon first glance tonight, verses 30 through 32 may seem a little disconnected from what has just happened and what is about to happen in the Scriptures. But in reality, they tell us so much. They give us a picture of a connection of what all is going on. The ministry of Jesus is starting to become more private. who it says in verse 30, and they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man would know it, as they were on their way through Galilee. Jesus didn't want anybody to know where he and the disciples were at. As I said, it was becoming a time that his ministry was becoming more private. He was wanting to spend time with the disciples and teach them some things they needed to know. And that is what he says in verse 31. For he taught his disciples. That is what the purpose of it was. Jesus wanted to be with them without all the crowds, without all the fanfare, and spend some time with his disciples and teach them. And one of the things that he was teaching them was that the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that, he is healed. He shall rise the third day. Jesus was still trying to instill in their hearts that he was going to be crucified and buried and rise again the third day. He had taught them this some 8 to 10 days earlier. And you remember, Jesus began to teach them about it, and Peter pulled him aside and rebuked him. And Jesus then rebuked Peter before them all. But notice in verse 32, it says, but they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask. Now that sounds so odd. Says they didn't understand it. They still weren't grasping the idea that Jesus would be crucified. He was putting it in plain terms, telling him what was going to happen. And it says they just didn't understand it. I don't know if it said also they were afraid to ask. I don't know. It is possible that after Jesus had confronted Peter, that maybe they were afraid to ask and say, Lord, we don't understand this. Maybe they were afraid that Jesus would rebuke them. And it also might be possible that they really didn't want to know the answer. They just didn't get it. And maybe they were thinking, we don't want to hear about death. We don't want to hear about crucifixion and burial. You know, sometimes it is human nature to just not want to know. There are people I've had at times that they are afraid to go to a doctor when something's wrong, because of what the doctor may tell them. They say, well, if I've got a cancer, son, I just seem to know. I just don't want to know. They don't want to hear bad news. And maybe that was part of the problem. But Jesus was patient with them. Although they still weren't getting it, Jesus was patient, trying to teach them, trying to tell them what they needed to understand. So here they are, traveling along, and Jesus is trying to prepare them. But then in verse 33, says that he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves? By the way, as they were walking on their way to Capernaum, the disciples were talking among themselves, and the Bible says they were disputing. It had become an argument among them. So Jesus, when they get in the house, they say, he asked them, said, what were y'all disputing among yourselves, by the way? It wasn't that Jesus didn't know. Of course he knew. But he wanted them to tell him. So it says, but they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Can you realize that? Jesus was telling him, I'm on my way to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be crucified. I'll be buried and rise again the third day. And then they follow along and argue about who's the greatest among them. I don't know, maybe Peter and James and John started the whole dispute. It may be that they were saying, well, one of us is the greatest, because Jesus took us on the mount. If any other ain't her, or 12 or 9 her in the valley, and y'all couldn't even cast a demon out of that man's son. So surely one of us is the greatest. And they're not going to just argue it now. They're going to do it again. They're even going to do it in the upper room, arguing who is the greatest. So Jesus takes the opportunity to begin to teach them. And he is teaching them about true greatness. If that is what I want to think about tonight, of what Jesus taught the disciples about true greatness. Jesus, in the following verses that I read, tells the disciples what real greatness is all about. And he gives them the marks of greatness. First of all, he tries to teach them that greatness is marked by humility. In verse 35, it says that he sat down and called the 12, saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. So Jesus begins to tell them that if they really want to talk about greatness, if they want to argue about who is top dog and number one among the disciples, Jesus says that if you want to be first, you've got to be willing to be last. Jesus said it isn't the same about being great in God's economy. As far as the world says, greatness is about who you know and what you do, how people recognize you, and how your name is in lights, and how you get notoriety in the world. But Jesus said, greatness in the kingdom of God involves being last and being a servant of all. That word servant is the Greek word diakonos. That word is the same word that later is translated deacon. It is the idea of just being a servant. Somebody, the word here, servant is the idea. Somebody that waits on tables. Somebody that is always searching a way to help somebody else. That is what Jesus is saying. It isn't somebody with authority, but somebody that does the bidding of another. And then Jesus does something extraordinary. Says in verse 36, and he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. So Jesus, the Son of God, reaches down, picks up a little child, and sets the child in his lap and holds him in his arms. And Jesus says that whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receiveth he. I would say the disciples probably hadn't even paid much attention to this child. You know how children are. Children in the house are running around and playing. All the adults, they'll get together and they'll talk, and no doubt they were in the house. But suddenly Jesus takes up this child on his lap and holds him. And he says that if one will receive such a one in thy name, receive him he. You see, here was a child that didn't have any real influence. They weren't able to do anything Speak in the name of Jesus. Begin, Jesus. Said that little one's important to me. Let me tell you something about humility. Jesus is saying, greatness in service to me and to God isn't about doing the big things for big people so you get the notoriety. Jesus said real greatness is even about doing little things for little people that nobody may recognize. Jesus said that is what greatness is all about. About that kind of humility. Jesus saying that greatness isn't being the one on the top, but it is a willingness to take the low seat, the back seat, to just be a simple servant doing maybe what nobody else cares to do. But Jesus says, I see that. I recognize that. I see the little things. And He says, they're important to me. So Jesus said, real greatness is marked by humility. Secondly, Jesus says that real greatness is marked by charity. In verse number 38, apparently that all gets John to thinking. So John answered him and saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth us not. And we forbade him because he followeth us not. Suddenly John remembers something that happened, and I don't know when. But John said, Master, or teacher, let me tell you something that happened. Evidently, it had got to weigh in on John's mind. John is maybe thinking, I thought we were doing right, but now maybe it wasn't the right thing. He says, Master, we saw a man casting out a demon, and he doesn't walk with us. So we forbade him because he followeth us not. John says twice, he followeth us not. John said he's not part of our crowd. John said he's not walking with us. John said that because he don't walk with our crowd and do like we do, then maybe they were wrong, so we forbade him. But notice what Jesus said, verse 39. Forbid him not, for there is no man it shall do a miracle in my name that can likely speak evil of he. For he that is not against us is on our heart. I don't know, maybe John was a little jealous of Jesus. And maybe John was thinking that If this head isn't part of our crowd, it do just like we do, surely they're wrong. Sometimes we tend to still think the same things. I want you to hear me out. Sometimes we think we are the only ones that do it right. Sometimes we get the idea that just because some other group don't dot their I's and cross their T's just like us, that they are wrong and we are right. I'm not talking about doctrine here. I'm not talking about doctrine. I'm just talking about the way they do things. Maybe they do their services a little different. And maybe they let carry on in their services different than how we do our services. And sometimes we get the idea, well, they don't do like us, so they just gotta be wrong. But Jesus said, if they're not against us, they're for us. Jesus, I believe, was trying to get this across. If they're preaching the right gospel about Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection, they may do things a little different. They may not act just like we act. But if they're not against us, they're for us. In other words, Jesus is saying, real greatness is a mark of charity, of loving people where they are. I'll be honest, I have worked with people back when I was on public jobs that believe the gospel. They believe the truth. That they believed what I believed about salvation and heaven and hell. But we disagreed on some minor issues. Some things we just didn't see exactly eye to eye. But I still realized that He loved God. I'm thinking of a man in particular. I realized that He loved God. He served God. And He was a child of God. We need to realize that just because people aren't exactly like us, we ought to love them. And we need to realize that just because they don't do everything like us, that doesn't mean that we're always right on everything ourselves. And we're part of the family of God. If we aren't careful, we'll get exclusive in our love. And we'll get the idea that those who don't agree with us or act like us or do like us, they're all wrong. But they still may be a child of God. And you say, but preacher, I don't think they're doing hardly the right things. Then pray for them. Ask God to change their heart, change their direction, open their eyes. If you don't think they're doing just right. But don't write them off. Don't condemn them, what Jesus says. But then thirdly, Jesus talking about greatness says true greatness is marked by ministry. He says in the 41st verse, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ. Hearly, I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. You see, greatness in ministry or service to the Lord isn't about the largeness of the act, but the faithfulness of the act. There are those that only consider big acts of ministry and service, like preaching or singing or teaching or bishop work. They only see that those are the big acts of ministry. But Jesus says that greatness involves simple acts of ministry. What could be more simple than giving a cup of water to somebody? I want to tell you, that's just a simple act of ministry. It might be a small act in appearance to man, but it is a great act of service to God. Jesus said, when you give a cup of water, you do it in my name. And he recognizes that. Greatness isn't about doing the miraculous things, but simply doing the faithful things unto the Lord. I've had people that so often, they're ready and willing to do what makes a name for them. They're ready to be in the forefront. They're ready to have the pat on the back. They're ready for the preacher to stand in the pulpit and recognize their act of service to God. But if it don't have notoriety, if it don't have the great appreciation, they're not interested in that. But Jesus says real greatness is when you're willing to do just simple acts of service that nobody else except you and the person that you did it for and the Lord knows anything about. There are people that they just want that kind of recognition. But Jesus said that's not what greatness is all about in my book. He said real greatness involves humility. Real greatness involves charity. And real greatness involves ministry. I say to us all tonight, this convicts my heart. This challenges my heart. This touches my heart. You realize it isn't about doing anything that somebody comes along and pats you on the back or shakes your hand or calls your name because of what you did. It's about doing it faithful to the Lord, faithfully to the Lord, that one day you'll stand before Him and He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Being great in the eyes of God. That ought to be our desire. Not great in the eyes of men, but great in the eyes of God. The disciples still ain't going to get it because, like I said, it isn't going to be long till they're going to start arguing again who's the greatest. And I'm afraid sometimes I have a hard time getting what He's teaching me and what He's trying to tell me. But He's still working on me, patient with me, like He was patient with those disciples. He's still patient with me to mold me and shape me into what He wants me to be. That's the message that's on my heart tonight. I hope maybe something was said, a challenge to your heart. And an encouragement to your life. if it was, thank the Lord for that. Let's